Now, we're joined on the line by Dr. Maria Corbett, CEO of the Child Law Project, which has published its latest volume of case reports highlighting the crisis in availability of care placements for vulnerable children. Very stark reading, and I should say it's the very last volume of case reports from the Child Law Project as its contract ends. We'll talk about that very shortly. But first of all, Dr. Corbett, thank you very much for joining us this morning. First of all, can you talk about the issue of the shortage that you've highlighted or that you found in appropriate care placements for vulnerable children?
Yes, good morning, Trasa. Yeah, I mean, as people will could probably guess, and it's definitely research has found it, stability of a placement is a key ingredient for success where children come into the care system. And unfortunately, through our attending cases in courts across the country, what we found is that TUSLA, who provides the care placements, the Child and Family Agency, they don't have enough placements, and that's placements in foster care, in residential care and special care. And without those placements, that means that we're seeing children who are having emergency or kind of very short-term placements. So there's a lot of instability for children when they first come into care or if a placement breaks down. And that's really a concern for us because it is so difficult for children to adjust when they come into care that we need to ensure that we have the placements that can meet their needs.
And how many children do we know about? How do you garner all this information?
Yeah, so the work of the Child Law Project, effectively, because these courts are closed to the members of the public, is they're a sensitive nature. So the project, we're funded by the Department of Children, and what we do is we have reporters who attend courts, a kind of a sample of courts around the country. They attend on different days when they're hearing these cases, and they listen in to see what we can find. So in this volume, we're publishing today 70 individual cases that we've followed. Some will be short, we just might have heard them for one day, they might have just been heard for half an hour by the judge, but in others they're very long, and we've been following these cases week in, week out throughout a couple of months, and those cases will be long and complex. And it's hard for us to judge how many children are affected by a lack of placements, because clearly we've 5,700 children in care, so it's a large number in care. Most of those are in settled placements where they're getting on really well with their foster carers. We hear lovely examples of cases whereby the foster carers are saying the child's part of my family, they're welcome to stay here for as long as they want, and everything is settled. So we're not seeing those cases. We're seeing the cases where there's a problem. So quite a lot of this 70 that we published today, there's a difficulty underlying the case. Either the child has just come into care and they're struggling to find a placement, or the case has returned to court because there's been some problem identified and the placement has broken down, or an additional support needed for the child. So quite a few of those 70 would concern a placement issue. And it's difficult because what TUSLA needs to do is needs to find foster carers. Ideally, they would try and find a foster carer where the person already knew the child, or a relative, maybe an aunt of the child, or possibly a friend or neighbour of the child that would act as a foster carer. Or if that's not possible, or if it's an older child and they have different needs, they would go into a residential care setting, which is a small group home. But what we're seeing is that without these vital placements, TUSLA is having to use private providers and their profit-making centres, and they're running residential care homes, but they're often running them in a way that is more short-term, and there's just not that sense of this is your long-term placement, a long-term home. It's more of an ad hoc arrangement, and we're seeing those cases come into court, and they're really very problematic. It's not good practice.
Now, you've mentioned, and you've indeed outlined there, the shortage of appropriate care placements in terms of foster care, in terms of residential care. That would be very clear to me. But special care, Dr. Corbett, could you explain what special care means?
Yeah, so for some children, a small number, unfortunately, their own behaviour is posing a risk to their life, their health, their safety, their development. And so it would be that they're either having behavioural difficulties, or they're engaging in activities that are putting themselves at risk. So that might be that they are being sexually exploited or criminally exploited, or they're unable to settle in a placement. They may be engaging in aggression towards the staff, and it's not possible for them to stay there. So special care is, there's three units in the country. They're operated as a secure placement. So effectively, once the child enters, they're not allowed leave. So there's a deprivation of liberty there. And they would have more intense engagement by staff, and they'd have on-site education. These cases, because you're taking away a child's liberty, these cases come into the High Court. And the difficulty that we're seeing, and it's a really, it's a very pressing concern, is that there are more children who are deemed to need these placements than there are beds available. So there's only a small number of these beds across the country, but it is effectively now there's becoming a queue of children who need to get in. And some of the cases that we saw today are really very concerning, where you've got children waiting to get into this secure placement where they can be stabilised and contained and really kind of get back on track. And what you see is those children are in regular residential placements that aren't coping with their behaviour. In one of the cases, the young girl there was real concern that she was being sexually exploited. She was leaving her placement, getting into cars with unknown men, engaging with on her phone and in inappropriate sharing of images, those kind of concerns around her. And there was a need for her to be brought into a more secure placement.
And I was just thinking, it's been 30 years or so when it first emerged, the problem of child exploitation, child abuse, child sexual abuse, current and historical. And 30 years on, what you're highlighting in this report is that vulnerable children are still very much at risk, as in the case of that girl you highlighted there.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be some children who need to come into care. There's always going to be a vulnerability then when they're a child in care. Some of these children, they would have maybe capacity issues, so they may have an intellectual disability. They may not be street smart as well. So there's added vulnerabilities. They often have experienced a lot of trauma in their own life. And really, we need to ensure that we have the suite of options, because at the moment, there's definitely failings happening in the care system. Now, I must say, Tusla is clearly aware of these difficulties. Their social workers are working really hard and under enormous pressure. The CEO of Tusla has set up an external review group to look at this special care area. I'm actually part of that group, so we're hoping to be able to put forward some solid solutions. But we constantly say the same thing back when we're looking, when we're publishing a report. It's not just Tusla's job. We need all other elements of the state to be involved. So clearly there's issues here around the role of the HSE in terms of disability, mental health supports, addiction supports that some of these children need. There's also issues around the role and engagement with the guards around exploitation. So you can see that we really need to kind of wrap the arms of the state around these children, because even though, as you said, we've known for a long time and have been concerned about sexual exploitation, unfortunately, exploitation, neglect, you know, just general lack of care is apparent in some of these cases when there isn't sufficient support being put in around these young people.
Well, we'll leave it there. And thank you so much for joining us. Very enlightening. Dr. Maria Corbett, CEO of the Child